All right. Good evening, everyone. This is the September 10th, 2025 regular meeting of the WPSW local station board. I'm Kamau Harris, chair of the board. I will ask our secretary, Ellen Carter, to call the roll, please. Ellen.
All right. Hello, everyone. Anita, Irene, actually. Has anybody heard from her?
I have not.
No. Okay. Verna?
Present.
Wayne Bruce? I know he's
here.
On.
Here.
Yeah.
Here.
Michael Byfield? I'll come back.
Present.
Bill Curtis?
That's the Utah
police. Bill Curtis? I'll come back. Violetta said she may be late.
Yep.
Vanessa?
I'm here.
Sue?
I'm here.
Mal is here.
Yep.
Michael Hirsch?
Here.
Julie?
I'm here.
Arthur is... let us know he's has an excused absence. David,
mm-hmm.
Cassie, Ambrose let us know he has excused absence. Tony Leon,
he should be here. I see him.
You see him?
Yeah. Yep, Tony's here.
He just says something now. Mariah?
Here.
Ron Pinchback?
Here.
Minerva, I haven't heard anything from her, but under the circumstances, she's probably not going to be here.
Yep.
Michelle?
Present.
Wanda?
Here.
Dennis?
He's going to be late.
Okay. Tom Chase? Thomas?
Here.
Okay. And Jeanette?
Here.
And I'm pronouncing your name properly?
It's like the month of June, Junette.
Okay, Junette. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I'm not able to get my nickname off and put my real name up. So sorry about that.
Don't worry about it. Same happened to me. Irene, has anybody? Irene, is she here? Irene? Okay.
No.
Bill Curtis?
Nope.
Just let me know if he comes in. Violetta, like I said, she said she'll be late. That's everyone then.
Great. Perfect. Thank you so much, Ellen.
You're welcome.
All right. We're starting a little late, so I need to know, has everyone, actually, first things first, if member Bruce, if you could do a timekeeper for me before you leave. Yes. Who's that? Somebody said Mr. Chair. Who's that?
Ron.
Yes.
I didn't hear Robert.
Robert is absent this evening. He's got an excuse absent.
Okay.
Yeah. He called in earlier this week. Remember, Bruce, could you do timekeeping before you?
I will do.
For us? Thank you. And then has everyone had an opportunity to read the minutes?
Mm-hmm. I had a typo. Yeah. I had a typo that I made just with a name. And I made the change.
Okay. Any other changes on the minutes? as prepared. Is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I move we approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any opposition to approving the minutes as prepared by our secretary? All right. Hearing none, we'll approve the minutes for the August 2025 meeting of the local station board. Next up is our agenda. Any additions, subtractions to the agenda? I have one, the amended bylaws, part two, is actually going to go under unfinished business, so we'll just move it up. It'll probably take up the same amount of time between unfinished and new business, but the bylaws discussion is technically a several-part series, and we'll move that up into unfinished business. Any opposition to that?
No.
All right. Any other adds or subtracts to the agenda? All right. Hearing none, our agenda will proceed as prepared. All right. Who do we have here for? We have our interim general manager and we have our membership coordinator. So I'll leave it up to the two of you. Which one of you wants to go first?
Me. Cetaria.
Me. All right. Membership coordinator. Go ahead, Cetaria. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Happy September. I'm sorry if it's a little echoey. I'm in one of the rooms in my home. So first I'll give you the update on the August drive. I think we were in the middle of our August drive for the last meeting. So the dates were August 3rd through the 16th, 2025. The goal was $175,000. We exceeded it, and for the first time in probably, I don't even know how long, I should really take time to look at it, that we actually exceeded the goal days ahead of time. So that's a very huge accomplishment at WPFW. So, you know, thank you to all the volunteers, all of you who came through, all of you who made your donations, all of you with words of encouragement, everything. So thank you. And of course our staff and programmers. With our website and phone pledges, we got around $195,700. With an addition of PayPal and Cash App, we got another $9,200. A combined $205,000. And again, the goal was $175,000. So that's that. Let's see. Oh, with the help of a volunteer, they sent out the pledge reminders. They have gone out. If you requested a pledge reminder and did not receive one, please let me know, because we have sent all the ones out from August Drive. It's actually almost time for the second round of reminders to go out. 188 of them were sent, but 70 of those were left over from May, and about 8, I think, or so were from February. Let's see here. You know, I always encourage everybody to give. I always put that in my report, ways that you can donate to WPFW. As many of you know, September is the last of our fiscal year, with September 30th being the last day of the current fiscal year. All right. We do have some upcoming drives, and we have the preliminary dates. First, I'll just put out there, September 23rd, we are doing Genius Plus Soul equals Ray and John. And that is an on-air fundraising day that will focus on Ray Charles and John Coltrane. The goal for that day is $12,000. We are looking for volunteers and people to answer the phones, especially during the day. So if you have any time that's a Tuesday, if you are available to come and answer the phones, please contact Vinny at volunteers@wpfw.org, and he'll get you signed up and tell you what time slots are available. other dates that we have coming up. I'll just give the most, the ones coming this calendar year. So after that, we have our October drive, and that is the 12th through the 25th. And our December drive, which is the 14th through the 20th. And we'll be providing other dates. And I think I did list next fiscal year, well, next calendar year on the report, but just to have in your mind, October 12th through 25th and December 14th through 20th are the ones that are coming up. Please keep in mind, dates are subject to change. You know, different things affect the days that we can start. Different things happen in the world. Different things happen with our bank accounts and our needs. But this is what we're, those are the dates we're looking at for right now. We've got the 5K walk run coming up this weekend for the walk run for Total Fitness. So we all got to get excited about that. I did look in the system. I only had 14 people signed up in the system, but I did speak with Otis earlier today, and he was doing an audit of it because he found that they were, it was possibly a lot more people than what I was seeing. So we're hoping that's the case and that he can have that corrected so we can have more precise numbers. And I can just send those when we have them. I can send those to Ellen if you all want to be distributed. But right now we're looking at 14. I know there was also an issue with registering with the website. And last I heard, he was working on that, but I don't know if it's completed. I thought it was fixed. And I think he believed it was fixed too, but we were alerted that other people are still having problems with it. And that's it for me. Did anyone have any questions?
All right. You all have heard the report coming from the membership coordinator. Thank you, Sataria. Are there any questions? And actually, before I take a stack, Ellen, member Williams is here. You can mark him as present. Member McLean, you have a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the report, Sataria, and congratulations to everyone on exceeding the last goal. Just a quick question. Are we doing any fundraising for Giving Tuesday in November? I think I heard October and December, but not November.
No, I did not state. It was my understanding that Giving Tuesday is in December, but it's not encompassed in the dates I provided. But we will be doing fundraising for, and thank you for that. I forgot about that. We will be doing Giving Tuesday.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. And we'll have more information about it, exactly what that's going to look like coming up.
Great.
Excellent. Member Leon, you have the floor.
Thank you. Hey, Sataria. So I was listening to your numbers on the pledge reminders, and it sounds like you have a little over 100 pledge reminders from this last drive.
Yes.
That are waiting to come in. Do you know what the value is?
I mean, the amount to around $14,000.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Righty. Thank you.
And I apologize, everyone. I forgot to turn my camera on when I was doing the report.
No worries. We thank you for that. Any other questions for the membership coordinator, Sataria Joyner, 25 strong years at WPFW. All right. Hearing none, I will ask our interim general manager to address us. I don't know if you'll be doing double duty, but feel free to present as you wish. Miyuki.
Thank you. Both the reports were in on time on Monday, so I'm not going to read through them. I don't think it's read. I'll read through them in the effort to make time a little shorter, catch up. We started pretty late today. But I did want to add to Katia's report that we're in discussion now with Reverend Willie Wilson, as well as others, for the upcoming Million Man March anniversary, in addition to all the other things that she listed in her report. So a lot of things are being undertaken as a community service for these different events. So I want to let you all know that, and that there's a special, if you look at a report, there's a special week of Congo programming, as well as culminating in a fundraiser on the 26th, which is actually the last day of our drive as well. Both Sataria and Katia have been very, I hope, supportive of the LSB's 5K event. LSB, Martha Peterson requested some PSAs. They've gone on. And also, we were able to underwrite the insurance for you all this year through Pacifica, and hope that was helpful, and hope it's something you find of value. In terms of my report, nothing additional to add, other than our, as Satari stated, our fiscal year ends on September the 30th. We'll have a more detailed report from the treasurer, but we are doing okay on all the parameters. Wanted to let you know that this Saturday, the 13th, we receive a Dick Morgan Award for Community Service. So if anyone's interested in going to that, please email me at gm@wpfw, and I'll give you all the details. And lastly, next Monday and Tuesday, the executive director, Stephanie Wells, and the business director, Markeisha Van Zandt, and one of the election coordinators that are helping cleaning up the rosters of WPFW for the upcoming election will be here in town. I am considering having an event where everyone can come meet and greet on Tuesday evening. And if you're interested in participating in that, please email me individually at gm@wpfw.org. So unless there's some specific questions or anything, I thought come out, that would be okay since the report's gotten on time, if that's okay.
Sounds great. Thank you so much. You've heard the summary from, and you also have the written reports from our interim general manager, Miyuki Williams. Are there any questions? I see Member Leon. You have a question?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, hi.
Go ahead.
I've been hearing a lot of promotions for events, you know, that go on around town. And the events, they sound like they were for profit. Is the station getting anything back, or getting any monetary or anything back in return for these promotions?
Thank you for the question, Member Leon. In terms of some of the promotions, we are, some of them are not. We are in the process, I think I mentioned, of underwriting, and so we don't have all the parameter and structure set up yet, but we're using the basis of what we charged in the past. And we're trying to do that, and we're trying to increase the number of things that we are supporting the community with. We are doing everything within compliance. And as I said, some things we get paid for and some things we're not. Our launch date for our full underwriting is October 1st. And by then, we'll have I can give you exact language, and I can tell you specifically which ones are being paid and which ones are not. But right now, I couldn't do that this second for you. I'd have to look it up. But some of them are and some of them are not. And certainly not the for-profit ones. They're certainly, the for-profit places are certainly having to pay. The other ones are not.
Okay, so the for-profit ones that are paying, are they being reported on the finance report? And what category would that be?
You're going to have to ask a treasurer about that, Tony. I'm not sure.
Okay. Is that going to be a policy, that underwriting policy, is that going to be Pacifica-wide?
The Pacifica-wide has adopted underwriting. we're not adopting a Pacifica. We're making our own parameters now. So I don't think so. I don't think it's Pacifica wide in terms of our specific parameters for what we're going to do on our air.
Okay. So this is a PFW station, policy then for now.
Yes, sir.
And who developed Dan. That one?
I'm sorry.
Who's that?
That's Wayne.
Go ahead. One more follow up, Tony, and then we'll move. Go ahead.
Who was involved Thank in you. Developing this one for the station?
The compliance officer of Pacifica, Tom Chase, is under leading it. Tom Cole is working on it. Baba Aize is working on it. Bill Wax is working on it. I am on the committee, and so is Katia.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Member Pinchback, go ahead. You have the floor. You're on mute, sir.
The meeting, the people coming here to visit the station, is that related to the bylaws discussion that they were setting up for us?
I do not believe so, Member Pinchback. In the job description for the executive director, she's supposed to visit each affiliate once a month. That is not financially viable for her to do at this time, but she is starting to do it, and she's starting off with us in New York City. Beyond that, I think there's a separate, and I'm not sure because I'm not involved with it, but I believe there's a separate interaction expected to be with the LSB and the chair of the PNB.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Member Byfield, you have the floor.
A couple of questions. 10 years ago, or at least 10 years ago, we were wrestling with the issue of underwriting and the complexities in violation of Pacifica bylaws in terms of the very type of underwriting that I think we're currently looking at right now. And I know that was probably the reason why Nightwolf was dismissed. I've always had a very confused opinion about how we do underwriting or even receive money, because I thought it was always in violation or in conflict with the bylaws of Pacifica. So in saying that, since the ED is going to be here, maybe we need to sort of discuss, I don't know if we can have a town hall or have the LSB can be present or members that want to be to speak to the ED, because there are some issues that are some very serious issues that have gone on, that they've kicked the can down the road. And that is one of them.
Well, 2 years ago, I believe, Mr. Byfield, Pacifica's PNB passed the approval of having the underwriting. And we are working closely with the compliance officer to execute it. So I'm not clear what you're referring to from 10 years ago, but as of about 2 years ago, it was approved via the PNB. If you are interested in attending, please email me at gm@wpfw.org, and I will see that you get an invitation. I'm not sure, and that may be premature. I didn't ask her. She was looking forward to meeting the staff, and both volunteer and paid staff. I did not ask her about the LSB. I assumed it was okay. That's a big assumption on my part, but I will check, and it's not a problem. I'll let you know where it is and what's taking place.
I remember Summer Reese coming to our town hall at university.
Go ahead and finish up, Member Byfield.
I said, I remember.
What's your question?
The ED coming to our town hall at Howard University.
Okay.
That's
okay. Fair enough. it's kind of a last minute there with the executive director. We're just kind of hearing about it. So hopefully, in the next coming days, we can get something teed up. All right. So, look forward to that. Any other questions for the interim general manager? In this pause, I want to let Ellen know that member Kiasi is here now.
Thank you.
The mark-in present. Thank you. All right. A few minutes early. Any other bites at the apple? If not, then we'll move to our Finance Committee report.
Okay. Kamau, do you mind if I share my screen?
Of course you can, sir.
All right.
You have it.
Okay. I believe this was sent out to everyone today. But if not, maybe just drop it in the chat and Ellen can resend it. As Miyuki mentioned, overall, we're looking to hit budget for the year. We made up.
Tom, are you sharing? Because we don't see it.
Fair enough. There we go.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right.
There you go.
Yeah. So, as Miyuki mentioned, we're on track to hit budget for the year. We made up our shortfall, with this fund drive exceeding our expectations. We are, caught up on healthcare now. We've, paid off the, tower repairs in full. We have, got the, invoice for ASCAP and we're ready to pay that, but we're just haven't paid that one yet. And we've settled one of the Verizon Internet outstanding invoices and Miyuki's working on negotiating the second one. So again, we're, we've got some work to do with the fund drive this month. It's not clear sailing till the end. We do need to bring in about an extra $17,000 to meet the budget for the end of the month with this fund drive. And we do have a grant application still pending with Diverse City Fund that potentially could come in by the end of the year. And I don't believe we've reported it, but we heard back. We had submitted to the Meyer Foundation. It was it wasn't a full proposal, but a kind of a short interest proposal. And we were declined on that. So we have some work to do to find some contacts with Meyer Foundation and see if we can be better positioned or even figure out why they felt like we weren't a good match. That's sort of the overall on the budget. We'll use a little bit of time. I want to talk about the coming year budget and where we are with that. Do you want to take questions at the end or you want to take questions on the current year now?
Let's if you will, Tom, let's pause right here. We'll take a quick stack. This is any questions regarding the financials for this current fiscal year as presented by Treasurer Chase. Any questions? Member Byfield, what's your question? Go ahead, sir.
I noticed that we've been saying we exceeded our fund drive. And, I just want to quickly go over something. Because, you know, we're still short in terms of making our budget. And I think we raised $175,000 or $195,000.
Yeah, the membership coordinator reported I think 195 on her, report.
Okay. And I appreciate, cause maybe it's just relative to the time that we're living in and maybe we, you know, we're really impressed with it because, you know, the current climate right now is a different climate, but in 2023, in 10 days, okay, we raised $240,000 in 10 days. I know it's year end. It's Christmas. We usually raise more then. So. And then that spring, we raised in 3 weeks, $230,000. And then the following spring drive, following that, we raised $240,000. All of those were 3 weeks with the exception of the Christmas fund. So essentially all of those were more. Okay. Now, and even then we never make our budget. So and I'm speaking to the board because there are new members that may not know this, but I believe if we're trying to reach our goal, and again, I have a lot of appreciation to have a shorter fund drive, which the IGM instituted, and I think it's a great idea. But I just want us to be clear on what we need to meet in terms of budget. And on those three occasions, it was on the last drive that we had gotten the first grant from the diversity fund. Okay?
Go ahead and get your question out, Member Byfield. Go ahead, please.
I think I've said enough.
Yes, okay. All right. Well, yeah, no, I think your point is, well taken. I think it's a fact that I think if we extend drives, extra weeks or an extra week, in theory, we should collect more in revenue. I think Tom, is going to present to us a fiscal year 2026 budget here shortly. And I think he can speak to what the methodology and thought process was around that. So, hold tight, I think. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes. Any other questions on the, sorry, Tom, any other questions on the current, financial position for the organization? All right. Great. Hearing none, go ahead with, the rest of your presentation.
So let me just answer one question on 25 that comes to mind from earlier. Sure. The amount of, underwriting that we've done to date has been very small and isn't been tracked in the current year. That essentially the money has just flowed into the listener contributions because we haven't had the staff to do all the splitting out of, the different categories of contributions. So in the future, we'll have that better, going forward. So that was, in the current year, in terms of the goals for fund drives, at least from my perspective, I didn't start at the beginning of the fiscal year. And so, I think the goals have been set a bit by historical precedent or what do we usually do in August, that kind of thing. I would say in the new year, and I'll transition now to that budget. And we still haven't done that at this point of really the monthly breakdown of the revenue and expenses. This is still kind of at the line, right. The category, of the accounts. But basically what we're proposing and was accepted by the executive director and by last night the National Finance Committee is essentially a flat budget for WPFW, except that we're looking to, an increase in revenue of about 10% from three sources primarily, and I'll break that down. But that increase, we want to set aside almost all of it for improvements to the transmission facilities. And I'll talk about that a bit more. So again, overall, for the current year, as we've talked about, that's our revenue, $1.45 million. We're projecting a roughly 10% increase overall for the year, with about 3%, $50,000 coming from increased listener donations, $35,000 increased grant funding, and $50,000 goal for underwriting. So that essentially all of that new funding would go towards $30,000 for a contingency repair fund for the tower, essentially in case we have another rat attack in the coming year, and $100,000 for scoping out and funding backup transmission power capability. So we don't know exactly what that's going to look like, whether it's a backup transmitter and site or it's backup power at the existing site, but we're, just starting kind of what do we need to be more resilient? And we've kind of identified $100,000 to do that in the coming year. Of course, that'll be contingent on, that we raise the funds, but essentially everything else is flat, about a 2% rise in personnel costs. Again, most of that increase would be, all of that increase really is in the program expenses. And we end the year projecting a $90,000 net revenue, which is $10,000 more than we budgeted to hit this year and we expect to hit. So we're continuing to kind of build a bit of a reserve, invest in our infrastructure, and, you know, continue to work on grants. And I'm just wrapping up and, hope to get back the in-kind donations as well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Senator Chase. Member Avery Brown, you have a question.
I do. Hope I can get this out. My bandwidth keeps dropping. Tom, thank you for that very transparent report and all the good work that you're doing. I'm curious about that $15,000 grant. Is that the one that's pending or has it already been applied? And yeah, who is it from?
That's a diverse city fund. That was for the Jazz and Justice Festival.
Okay.
And some other things, but generally it was diverse city fund.
And just to comment, I would be more inclined to be on the side of keeping the pledge drives at 2 weeks and meeting our goal as opposed to extending them to 3 weeks. Just a commentary there. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions for Treasurer Chase? All right, hearing none. Thank you, Tom, so much for that report.
You bet. Thank you.
Yep. All right, we're a little ahead of schedule. I think I don't think Violetta is here yet. Remember Diamond? I didn't see her come in. So, is there anybody here, whether you're a delegate or not? Oh, Member Chiasi, go ahead. You have the floor.
Yeah.
See your hand.
Yeah. I'm diagnosed with COVID, and I may be able to come into the meeting later to talk about the bylaws. But right now, I'm going to excuse myself for most of the meeting. So anyway,
yep,
just wanted to let you all know that.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Take care of yourself. And then, if you want to jump back in, just go ahead and do that.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thanks now. Yep. All right. Member Diamond is not here. So is there anybody that is on that committee, the outreach committee, that would like to address the membership at this time? It can be whether you're a delegate or not. If you're on that committee, please raise your hand or step up and give us a quick report. If not, we will keep it moving.
I can share briefly what I remember. We primarily spoke about the 5K that's coming up this weekend. We're really hoping that we have good turnout, hoping that the board shows up Saturday. It's going to be a really good time. We have hand dancing. We have double dutching again, a race director. And I think Martha was saying that a majority of things have been covered, but I think we still need a little bit of funding in terms of the board being able to give where possible. I can't remember how much we're short or exactly what it was for, but I think there was a way that we needed to donate. I don't know if, Kamau, you had that information, but that would be helpful. And then the other thing we discussed was the newsletter. We talked about possibly getting someone from Free DC to be interviewed, because obviously we're in the midst of an occupation right now, and it's something that's timely that we can contribute, and then also having them speak at the upcoming town hall. Again, we are obligated to have two during the year, and our next one is coming up. So we were thinking sometime beginning of October on a Saturday, potentially finding a different location. We're not wed to the church, and I think maybe it might be a good opportunity to include some other folks by having it in a less formal setting, even if it's in a park or, you know, there are other locations that we could have it. But right now we're thinking of hosting it the beginning of October, because obviously it's almost the end of September at this point. So I think that covers all that we have. And Kamau, if you're able to share that info that you have in terms of donating for Saturday, that'd be helpful.
For sure. Thank you, Member McClain. Member Diamond is here. I don't know if you heard most of that. Would you like to add to it before I chime in or?
Thank you, Mariah. And, nothing much to add. It was one question that I got earlier today, and that was, how, we were thinking that Sataria would be able to be at the function to collect anything, you know, like with the square, application. So if, you know, we got a t-shirt or something like that, but she's not going to be in town. So I was just wondering, is there arrangements for that or how are we going to handle that?
All right. So let me quickly touch on the piece that Mariah had, and then I'll solicit that answer from, our IGM. So, as you all know, our systems, you know, they've served us, for many years now. And it's always a challenge kind of introducing something new into the particular system we have to collect money. It was set up, I want to say a couple weeks ago for us to go ahead and collect those monies. The page was there. Several, myself and others, Member Hyland, we all tried to use it. It was crashing out and giving us a return notice saying no or wasn't allowing us to contribute money at all. And so we've been back and forth. Just today, midday today, I heard back from Otis McClay, who manages the system. And at this point, we're still waiting to hear back from him to see if he's actually got it to a point where all of us can go directly and contribute any amount that you would like. Right now, you can only register for participation, which then commits you to the $40, I think, fee. So again, it's just a systems issue and he's working on it. So that's where we stand on contributions that can be made directly to the 5K. As it relates to collections of revenue or monies, the day of at the park, Miyuki, do you have any insight as to how that might happen or what your thought process was there?
Yeah, though Sataria's not going to be there, we're supplying our iPad as well as the square so it's available for you to use. We have to work on coordinating, make sure that it will work, without internet. I'm trying to make sure it's the right iPad. So we're planning to make sure you have something available so that you can use a square and you can do credit cards. In terms of cash, Mariah or whomever would be there. I mean, we trust you all to bring in whatever money you have, but in terms of using credit cards, we should have that available for you.
Okay. Member Diamond, good?
Yes, thank you.
All right, perfect. All right, any other questions for our outreach committee at this time? All right, hearing none, moving right along. We're going to hit record time here. Do we have our PNB directors, members Hewitt? I know Member Sanders will not be here, Member Williams, and Member Pinchback. Are you all prepared to give us some feedback on what's been happening at our Pacifica National Board? And I'll go in alpha order. We'll start with Member Hewitt.
Yeah, I don't know how prepared I am, we met in early September. It was a fairly short meeting. We had it was mostly about committee reports, there was a lot of discussion about the in the Finance Committee report, which I think was a discussion that the NFC had at its previous meeting. There was some discussion about whether Pacifica should raise the minimum membership fee, you know, the $25 that's in the bylaws to become a member, because it says in the bylaws something to the effect of, and I don't have the language right here in front of me, but it sets it at $25 or such amount as the PMB, you know, from time to time should determine should be the minimum. And so some people were arguing to raise it. and other people made some good arguments not to raise it, right? And so we didn't take any action on that, but you know, certainly that's one of the things that I think there's a lot of energy around both sides for that. So I just wanted to put that out there so, you know, people knew that we talked about that. The governance committee gave a report, and what's likely to happen is that there will be a bylaws period where people can submit suggestions to the governance committee about things they would like to change about the bylaws. But we didn't vote on that or come up with dates for that yet. So that's what we did in open session, and yeah, that's my report. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much. I will allow our other directors to go before we take a staff. Member Pinchback, you have something you would like to report to the FSB?
Actually, I do not. I do not have anything to report other than what Julie has mentioned. I did not attend the meeting, the most recent meeting of the PMB. I have requested an excused absence. I will defer to Dennis. I believe he was there. I know there were some measures that were being considered to be voted on. I don't know whether, obviously I don't know whether they were voted on or not, but Dennis can fill us in on that. So that's where I am at this point. Thank you.
Yeah, the answer to
Thank
that
you.
Is no.
I have nothing else to report.
Got it. Yeah, can you all hear me?
We got you. Go ahead, sir. Yep.
Okay. There are, I guess, four standing committees. The audit committee has not been meeting regularly, and the other one, the coordinating committee, will not meet. The chair is not doing that. So there isn't a whole lot of, the things that we, there's a limit to the things that we actually end up discussing in the public sessions. What I did share with the, a lot of that, what happens in the public sessions is around the ED's report, just like we hear the IGM's report here at our local meetings. And so I did share the executive director's report, and Ellen, I believe, sent that out to the members. So that was most of the news. There is talk about the possibility of raising the membership fee. I was among those who argued against it just because there's so much up in the air and so much change right now. I would rather we wait until after the next round of elections next year. If anybody on this board has strong feelings about that, I'll be happy to carry those back. If you all feel overwhelmingly that that the membership fee should be raised, I would advocate for that. What else? Any proposed changes to the bylaws will be going through the governance committee, which will be responsible for setting up a timeline. There were some proposals that I think that's what Ron was referring to. Some possible proposed amendments, but they're being, channeled down that path. So that will go through the governance committee's structure. That's pretty much about it. We only meet once a month, just before the LSB. So that's what's going on as far as I can tell.
All right. You all have heard from our directors here that are present. I'll take a stack. Member McLean, you have the floor.
And thank you, Dennis and Julie and Ron. You all said that membership fees would be raised from 25. What would they be raised to?
The proposal was 50.
Gotcha. So doubled. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I see Member Leon. You have the floor, sir.
Thank you. Yeah, $25. It's been $25 for a long time. Everything else is going up. Why not? I don't know about 50. You know, maybe 35. You know, 35 is what the station was asking for a long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm in support of the membership fee going up. Second thing. Can any of the PNB people give an update on the Bill of Rights and grievance process that the ED was supposed to be working on, by incorporating some of our procedures and so on and so forth? Anybody have any update? Because it was supposed to have been, she was asking for 60 days and that was in July. I listened to the PNB meeting in July where Ron and I believe Dennis, brought it forth. And yeah, I heard what she said. She said something unusual though. She said she hadn't seen our process. And I know Kamal sent something out early in the year and then Ron said he would send it out the next day. So I thought that was unusual. But yeah, can we get an update on that if anybody? Yeah,
I know that she has, I believe there was some interaction, with, I think I saw her acknowledging, Miyuki having, also forwarded, our document. So she has acknowledged that she has it and there is no update.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you know, as long as you guys are on there, can you please stay on top of that.
Yes, and thank you for reminding me.
Thank you.
Yep.
Will do. Yeah, will do.
Mostly with the trying to get the budgets done and other things. But yes, thank you for the reminder.
Member Byfield, you have the floor.
Yeah, that's over 90 days ago that you received that. And in the email that was sent, what the complaint was from people like myself was that we were kicking the can down the road, dragging our feet, and that we didn't have good representation from our side, which at the time, was directed at, our IGM who, said it was not her fault and clarified that matter, where she was directed by the ED. So we then forwarded that over 90 days ago. So I'm going to go back to originally what I had complained about or what a lot of us complained about was that in that case, then our representative need to look at such an issue and bring it to the forefront, especially when the ED, in fact, what she recommended was not a smart move. And in my opinion, jeopardizes, the legal, exposure to Pacifica again. I just want to say that. And if she's not competent enough to draft something, we have a better proposal. We have a proposal that we can put forward, which is probably one of the reasons why I'd like for us to be present to meet with the ED, because I don't think she's looking at all the marbles. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Byfield. Member Nyawi, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you for the reports.
I wanted to weigh in on the membership fee, the annual fee of $25. I agree with Member Williams that it should not be raised. I just wanted to point out that a lot of people who pledge will pledge multiple times, so people are not limited to the $25. But I think keeping it at that rate allows people who may not have the, you know, more than that to spare to become members. But, you know, no one is prevented from donating more. And it just seems that just in general, though, that when we're supposed to support something like the 5K, and then there are other times when members who have done some work need to be compensated. It's not an easy way to compensate. I've sent emails to people asking them, you know, how, if they have a number or, you know, an address that I can send money to, because on the page, there's no drop down for specific donations. So I think we should be a little more attentive to making it easy for donations to be made by LSB members.
If I can just speak to that, to that briefly, one of the arguments for not raising it now, and Tony, you're right, it's been, you know, flat for a long time and we're not bringing in what we could, but in fact, I think the ED said that, or somebody said they wanted to do some analysis of, because we don't get most of our money from the membership. The membership fee, we get the money from the donations. And especially now that we are going to be tasked with, making a concerted effort to increase membership. One of the points I made is that it's, you know, you don't necessarily raise the price of something when you're trying to, you know, to get more people to buy it. You know, the membership just gets people in the door. It would be good to know how much donation we get from people after they have already, become members. I know there's, obviously there are people who just pay their membership. That's all we ever get from them, and that's fine. Most of the money that we get, from viewer donations, are almost certainly from members who give more than their membership fee. So, yeah, we'll see. I don't think any action will be taken right away, but again, if there's a, clear consensus, to raise it, I would, as long as I'm on the PNB, I would, advocate for whatever you all ask me to.
Thank you. Member Nyawi, are you good?
Yep. Yes, lowering my
Member
hand.
Member Avery Brown. Thank you. Member Avery Brown, you have the floor.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I would support keeping the membership fee exactly where it is. We're trying to increase our membership. People are, 300,000 African-American women lost their jobs under this Trump administration. People are, you know, I just think it's a nice affordable rate right now. And it'll encourage people to join, people that cannot give more. Okay. Also on the proposed bylaws changes, it's my understanding that an appeal has been made, a legal appeal to the ruling that said that the bylaws could be changed. And I'm wondering what effect, if any, will that appeal have on movement of these bylaws changes? Will they pause them? Will they stall them? What's the effect that it's going to have, if any?
I will defer to the directors. Is there any impact if there is an appeal to the changes that were made to the bylaws? I'll go in alpha again. Member Hewitt, do you have anything you want to add or respond to there?
Yeah, I don't think it has any effect in the short run, certainly. You know, the court recognized bylaws, the 2025 bylaws, and an appeal, you know, it will run its course. But it might be successful, it might not be successful. And so I think, you know, there wasn't a request to say, you know, for a temporary restraining order from putting the bylaws in place while, you know, the appeal runs its course. So the point is the 2025 bylaws are in place. So when I was talking about bylaws amendments, I was talking about amendments to the 2025 bylaws. So just to be clear about that. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you. Member Director Pinchback, did you want to add or respond to Member Avery Brown's question regarding bylaw?
Yeah, the situation is such that the appeal has been filed. But once again, unless there's a court injunction, unless we pursue a court injunction to stop the process, then the bylaws will continue to, the new bylaws will continue to be enforced, unless the court, intervenes. So that's where we are right now. Whether the court intervenes, remains to be seen, and, whether there will be an appeal, will be a request to stay the implementation of the bylaws until the appeal can be heard. That would be the only way that we could stop the current bylaws from, being enacted. We're going to have to appeal, well, we're already making the appeal, but, the other question is that, the other issue is, once again, what will stop the process, as we speak. And right now, the only way to stop that is to request that, stay of, that stay. And, I do not know whether there's a plan to request that or not. But that will be the way.
Mm-hmm. Quick follow up. So when can we expect to hear exactly what these new bylaws changes will be? We were promised, I think, a full explanation from the ED.
Wait. What was your question? What are the new bylaws changes?
When can we expect to hear a full, complete explanation of what these changes are and how they will affect us?
Well, your chair is working very hard to try and ferret out the details. I gave something last month with regards to this, and we'll have another session here this evening, trying to give, you know, what has happened. Now, if you're looking for a side by side, like what changed from what the bylaws were from 2020 from prior and now to 2025, then, you know, that's not been done. What I've been trying to do is bring presentations that say, hey, here's what the impact on the LSB has been. There's an impact on the whole organization in these changes. I've not been focusing on that. I think there are others that have been, but the email, and I can try and pull it up. I'll share it with you. But the chair of the PMB has said that she will start with, or they intend to start with, staff first, informing the staff exactly what the changes have been and kind of work through them first and then work their way through the LSBs and then I guess the other membership. That's what I've heard directly from her, and I can share that out, you know, after the, if I can find it during the meeting, I will, but if not, I'll share it out afterwards. So.
You say staff.
Timing.
When you say staff, does that include programmers? Does that include the programmers?
Kind of broke up. No. Come on now, you know you're the whole lawyer.
Does that include the programmers or is that both the programmers?
No, pardon? This is get no. You can't hear this me is well. General manager. I can hear you. I got you. I'm trying to talk. This is general managers. This is program directors. This is the paid staff for each of the signal stations. That's what we're talking about first. Yeah.
And the LSBs.
About. Again, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to share the email I have. That's not the information I got, but I'll share it out and you all can, as directors, you all can confer it and deal with that, directly as you have in your meetings. But I had a different communication. It did not say she was starting or the communication about the changes would start with LSBs. It was initially with, the paid staff is how I read the email, but I'll share it and you all can, you can have questions going forward. Member Williams, did you want to respond at all? If not, I'll take.
No, I think Julie and Ron covered it.
Thank you. Member Hirsch, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. And I want to thank, Werner for raising the issue of economics with regard to raising the membership cost. And I have a lot of concerns because that is a threshold to democratic participation in Pacifica. And with the new bylaws coming in, and I cannot wrap my mind around what the changes are going to be. And I read it on the paper. I still don't have a feeling for what that's going to be. And with that still in flux and still unknown, I would really be hesitant about doing anything else that would inhibit democratic participation from our listeners. And I would warn very urgently to hold off on that. And also I would like to bring up and forgive me if this is already being done, but I would think that people should be allowed to volunteer a certain number of hours in lieu of that and be able to be voting members, because I want to increase democratic participation in Pacifica. I'm very concerned that we've been, with the new bylaws, that's in question as it is. So I'd kind of like to make a motion now to instruct the directors from WPFW to bring these concerns to the PNB, if that's in order at this time.
It's in order. If you want to formulate it a little bit better, I can help you out. Do you want to make a motion to – what would you like to do exactly? And again,
be it resolved that the directors representing WPFW argue on behalf of expanding rather than contracting democratic participation in Pacifica by holding the membership fees constant, and also by allowing people to use volunteer hours to qualify as members.
And that's already in there, and that hasn't changed.
Thank you. Okay.
Friendly amendment will strike the volunteer hours, but be it resolved that the directors argue on behalf of expanding democracy within Pacifica by not raising the membership costs at this time. Is that about right?
The chairman.
That's about right. Okay. Ellen, do you have that?
Yes, I have it.
Great. You've heard the motion. Is there a second to that motion?
Second that motion.
Been seconded by Member Avery Brown. Any discussion? Anybody have I'll take a for and against. Anyone for the motion? Speak up. I've got several hands here. So I see Member Dixon Briggs, Member Leone in that order. Did you want to argue in for or against the motion, Member Dixon Briggs?
Well, my hand was up to talk about the issue, so I'll argue for the motion. Should I go ahead?
In support, go ahead. Yeah, you got 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, the basis of my support for the motion is that it's certainly more democratic by being more affordable. It allows more people to join. So I think that in itself is more than enough of a reason to maintain the membership fee at the current rate. Just to try to maintain some semblance of democracy at Pacifica.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you. Member Leon, did you have for or against?
I'm arguing against.
Go ahead.
Because it's been that price for the last 22 years when the bylaws was revised in 2003. And membership, has declined. So I'm arguing against it unless the motion includes a consistent process for promoting the stations and, you know, to inform the public that, you know, the network and the station exists. Because even though, you know, there's a lot of social media has started up. When I look at the social media on Twitter and Instagram, there isn't a lot of responses, you know, thumbs up and love symbols and things like that on there. And in talking to people that I meet at work and on public transportation and at events, they still tell me they never heard of the station. So promoting the station is equally as important as keeping the membership price down. If you aren't promoting the station, then, you know, you can drop the price to $10.
5 seconds.
And it's not going to, improve, membership and democracy.
Thank you. Did you want to amend that motion? Is that what you're asking?
If I were to amend it, I would add keeping the, what Mike said and adding to it with, increased consistent promotions, campaign.
Amended motion says, be it resolved that the directors argue on behalf of expanding democracy by not increasing the membership fee or retaining the membership fee at $25, amended by saying, including a consistent process to promote the station. That what you're saying?
In a consistent promotions campaign. A consistent process for promotions.
Okay. Yeah.
That sums it up.
Ellen, do you have that? Okay.
Okay. I actually said a little bit, but he changed up and down. Include consistent process to promote the station, period. Or you want to say something more?
I think that's what we need. That's fine. That's solid. Yep. All right, your motion's been amended. Is there a second for that?
I second it. I consider that a friendly amendment.
Any opposition? All right, hearing none, I'm going to accept that amendment by acclamation.
Hold on. Okay. I'm sorry.
Oh, you have something? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
I believe that, can you hear me?
You have the floor, sir.
Okay. I believe that the amendment to keep the, or the decision to keep the price as it is, the subscription price as it is, should be, dealt with alone. If there's an effort to increase, publicity and such, that should be, what do I want to say here? that should be something that's done, because it's necessary to do, you know, not as something to keep the fees the same. You know, so I just think those two ought to be separated and voted on separately, you know, and that's my thinking.
Thank you. Thanks. Member Williams, 1 minute. We're going to run up against it here, y'all.
Yeah, so. I agree with Ron. I don't think the amendment, actually makes a whole lot of sense. I don't think it's two separate issues. And, as you'll see when we go through the bylaws, increasing membership is, that's all y'all are going to be doing. That's it.
Yep.
That is the job of the LSB. So.
Thank you. Member Yawi, 1 minute.
Yes, I also agree that it should be separate issues to vote on. And I also feel that if there is a suggestion that there be promotions at something more specific, you know, means or what specifically, is going to be done to, enact these promotions and gain membership that way. So it really needs to be fleshed out more.
Members Hirsch and Leon, are you willing to drop the amendment?
Tony, go ahead.
If not, we'll go to a vote.
I see Tony's hand is up.
He's muted.
Tony. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I agree that that more should go into the promotions. But as far as the vote goes or the motion goes, I'm going to still vote against the motion as proposed. So, yeah.
Okay. Your amendment, though, are we okay to drop that from what we've been doing here? So we don't go to vote on that. We can go right to the motion as presented yes. By Member Hirsch.
I'm okay to drop.
Right. Okay. All right. Ellen, we're going to call the roll.
Okay.
On the floor is a motion, be it resolved, that the directors of WPFW argue on behalf of expanding democracy within Pacifica by not raising the current membership fee of $25. That is your motion.
Okay.
A motion for a yes vote supports that motion. We'll call it the democracy in Pacifica. A no vote opposes it. All right. Anybody need any clarification? I cannot stop once we call the roll. Okay. Anybody on board? All right. Go ahead, Ellen. Call the roll.
Just to be clear, Mr. Chair, a no vote means that you are not voting for a increase. A yes vote means that you are.
No.
Is that correct?
Opposite. Opposite.
No.
What we're arguing. No problem. The motion, a yes vote for this motion maintains the membership fee at $25. A no vote does not compel the directors to argue to retain that membership cost. It can increase if you say no. All right. Anybody got it?
Yep.
And truthfully, this is a motion to hold, to attempt to hold our directors accountable, as Member Hirsch says, to, democracy within Pacifica. So, go ahead, Ellen, and call the roll, please.
Okay. Irene still hasn't come in, correct?
She has not. Nope.
Okay. Verna?
Yes.
Wayne?
He had to leave. He's not here.
Okay. Michael Byfield? Is he still here?
Yeah.
Michael Byfield?
I think I saw him drop off.
Oh, yeah, he dropped. Sorry. Yep, he dropped. Okay.
Bill Curtis hasn't come in.
Nope.
Violetta?
Yes.
Vanessa?
Yes.
Susan?
Yes, I must abstain.
Okay. Robert's not here. Where did my mom go? Kamal? Oh, never mind. I'll come back to you if you beat. Michael Hirsch?
Yes.
Julie?
Abstain.
Arthur's not here. David Kiyasi, yes. Is he back?
Yeah, I'm listening, but yeah, okay. Vote is yes. My vote is yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Ambrose, thank you.
Okay. Ambrose Lane isn't here.
Nope.
Tony Leon.
I vote no.
Mariah.
Yes.
Ron Pinchback?
Yes.
Minerva's not here. Michelle?
Yes.
Wanda?
Yes.
Dennis?
Yes.
Junette? Is she here?
She is.
Junette?
Junie.
Okay, I'll call her Junie.
She's on mute. Junette, please answer up.
Maybe she stepped away for a minute.
All right, All right, go ahead and count. I can't really count them yet. Did we miss anybody? Anybody we missed? Go back through.
Everybody else is absent. Everybody
okay.
Is here. Sorry, I was on mute and had trouble getting off. I abstain.
Abstains.
All right. So actually, everyone said yes. There were two upset. Oh, I'll count them out. Yeses are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Abstentions are 3 abstentions. 3 abstentions and 1 no. So the yeses. It passes.
Thank you. I have 10 yeses, but just to double check.
I had 10 as well.
You had 10? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I got 10.
Thank you for your help.
All right. All right. So the motion passes. Great. Thank you all for that. Mm-hmm. We are 6 minutes overdue. We have community comment here at this time. I'd like to start community comment off, if I could, too, really quickly. Member Goodwin, go ahead. Do you have something?
Forgive me. This may not be clear. I'm reacting to something that appeared on the chat.
Yeah, point of order.
I mean, Mike, I'm sorry. I need to calm down. But how could this? I mean, do you want it? It doesn't even matter why I abstained, but I had to. But that doesn't matter.
There should not be name calling in the chat. So point of order.
I agree. Who is, I don't think Harvey's a member. He's from the public. I mean, that is, against our, rules of conduct here. We don't allow that here at this LSB. I'm not sure where else, that would be allowed, but.
I think the person should be dismissed.
Yep. Trying to find on the list here. Yeah, we're going to have to let you go. Thank you for your participation, though. All right. Let me do this. We're in community comment. All right. So we have a couple of things I want to do. I'll open it up, but I'd also like to, bring forward a member of the community that has, put his hat in the ring for a listener member, spot on the local station board here. Jawara Hunter, you all have, received his bio and his reason for wanting to be on the board. So I see a hand already. So let me go to that member of the community, and then I will bring on Mr. Hunter to give a quick bio and reason for him to come on, reason why he would like to come on the board. So Hakeem, you have the floor.
Excuse me.
Start there.
Is that proper to have somebody who's a candidate use community comment time? That's never been done in the past.
Okay. I'll stand down. Point taken. Thank you for that. Hakeem, go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. I'm sort of rushing here. I just got back from the station. A couple of things. I went to pick up the stuff we needed for Saturday. Marty will not be, she's exhausted from lifting food and moving stuff, you know, so we're short some people. Minerva is, her father passed. So she's, I don't know if she's back or what's going on, but you know, we're not, you know, trying to get her involved. So anyway, a couple of things. Marty wanted me to bring this up. At this point, and it could have changed, but presently we haven't seen any response from board members concerning contributions or coming out to volunteer. There's a few of us to do this every year, Ms. Turner. We're all over, you know, older. You know, we're hanging in there doing this, a lot of work. So we haven't had any response from that. The other thing is that, and I hate to bring this up at the board meeting, but, you know, the information to take people's information for if they come out, they want to donate or something like that. That's not in play as of yet. So we have to go back to the station to get that tomorrow. And the function is Saturday. So there is some, what's the word? Not too sure why that wasn't already, set up. You know, I'm quite sure a lot of people use that, not just us, you know, so that's an issue. And, we had problems last year with that. So she's supposed to set that up. Then we have to go back down there tomorrow and get that, from her. Marty's got most of the food. She got quite a few, donations for the 5K. And so that's what she wants to, you know, put out there as far as the board is not, this is a board event. This is, you know, and so, we very seldom, in fact, in the past years, there's been several board members that show, but a very small few out of 20 some people. So that's the issue there. And if you can't make it, I mean, $20, you know, I spend that, you know, on lottery or like they say, your coffee, you know, and stuff. So, yeah, you know, that's an issue with, as far as this event. And I think that's about it. It should be a great event. Each year it gets bigger and bigger. We will, have, I heard, fantastic weather. So that's a good thing. And, if there's anybody at the last minute want to contribute to, you know, because the few volunteers that put this on who aren't really board members who sacrifice and put out, you know, it's a little, you know, it's a little, I don't know what the word I can't use, but, cause this is a public meeting, but you know, yeah, you know, so, you know, we're looking forward to that, you know, hopefully some people come out There have been a couple programmers who came last year, and some board members did show up in the past years, but the majority of the board is non-compliant, if that's the word I want to use. So that's about it from community comment time, you know, for me anyway. Appreciate.
Mr. Chair?
Now you're muted.
All right, sorry. So we discussed this earlier about the contribution. The platform is not working right now. So what we're trying to do is work with management and folks behind the scenes to go ahead and put that in play so that we can actually have board members contribute without having to actually register for the event, so they can give, you know, any kind of monetary number they'd like without registering for the event. Once that's up and running, I am confident that we will have contributions from board members coming into the station. How that relates to all the management of the funds that you're going to do on the back end, you know, I'm not familiar with that, but we do expect to have some contributions from board members. All right.
And if that happens, it would be greatly appreciated if they tag this for the 5K.
Are we on community comment? Comment?
Yeah. Well, who's this?
Yes, we are. Yeah, Hold on. I was just answering the question. His floor is off. He's gone now. I will take any other community members that would like to comment at this time.
Yeah. And let me finish real quick. And then, any contributions made, just tag them that this for the 5K.
It's set up.
Okay.
It's set up. Yeah. Thanks. Any other committee members, please come on forward. We have 3 minutes of time for you.
Okay. Can I come on, or is there someone else that wants to come on?
No, you're ready to go. The floor is yours. Yep.
All right. And if there's time, which I hope there will be, I'd like to go a second time if that comes up. I wanted to comment on a couple of things. First, at the end of the last LSB meeting, there was an issue raised that I wasn't sure I completely understood, but if I understood it correctly, I thought it was really pretty disturbing. It seemed that what was being discussed is the hiring of an intern without a proper procedure that went through the personnel committee, or there haven't been put in place standards for evaluation. And what seemed to have been a factor in this person's hiring was his relationship to a sponsor who had put forward money. And I think this is extremely undemocratic. I mean, the LSB represents the community, democratically, and it has to be able to weigh in on the hiring and evaluation of any personnel, I believe. And that's just really paramount. Even on a very temporary basis, somebody shouldn't be hired even for a short period of time without some kind of passing through some established procedure that ensures democracy for applicants as well as the community. The second thing I wanted to raise is, and I'm not sure if it was the same person, but on August 29th, the news at the top of the hour, the person who's doing that news, that very often it sounds like the news is being taken from an AP wire. And I think that we miss the point that very often if we want to attract people to the station, very often when people are, it's the top of the hour, that's when they turn the channel, you know, their channels to see what they like. If they're hearing something that just sounds like what they're hearing on every other channel, that's not going to be an argument for staying on the channel and finding out what else has to be said. And, the comment was made in this particular, segment that Putin was a dictator. And I will, in future things, I think I'm going to go into more depth on that whole situation, but I have, and others have raised that, essentially the U.S. corporations want to get into China and Russia in order to expand. And this means war. And war historically means that all of the social programming,
the budgets for that will be cut so that it can go into the Pentagon budget. I mean, Martin Luther King, this is a very old argument. The other thing that hasn't been really talked about, especially at this conjuncture, and I'd like to see WPFW do some specials on it, is what is the relationship of particularly the African American and Latino communities, their families sending young men to war in the event that there's a draft, or there is still always a poverty draft. But I don't think it's been nearly talked about enough in terms of the impact. There used to be a group called the Draft and Military Project in Washington that would send teams of veterans from those communities into high schools to warn people. And these are the factors that people are unaware they'll be dealing with. One, racism will mean that there will be very high rates of dishonorable discharges to racially oppressed communities. Two, they are given the most dangerous positions. Three, they are lied to about the value of their training. It's very often too specialized to be of much use, especially in a world which is becoming more and more high tech and demanding creativity and adaptability and not kind of an authoritarian regimentation. Four, they are, you know, very much in danger still, even with the technological, especially with the turn to war by drones, permanent physical and psychological damage. The veterans' benefits, I mean, are completely dicey. And you also, I mean, it's well known that there are very high rates of homelessness among vets. Now, I'm very aware that the military has offered one of the few opportunities to oppress communities, the poorer members now, to get any kind of security, any kind of steady pay, esteem, et cetera. And I think that, you know, a special program could address the current situation and also the history, you know, because there's a lot to be proud of in things that people have been able to achieve who are people of color in the military, certainly the service in the Union armies. There's been other things that have been more problematic, the participation in Buffalo soldiers, and that just alerting, making the community deadly aware of how sinister the appeal is that, oh, you're going to be a, you know, hero for the United States, and all of this without realizing what the downside of fighting these wars are. And, you know, and I think it was, God bless Miyuki, but, you know, she was talking about the soldiers on Memorial Day protecting us from what? We're the enemy. So I think there's so much that could be done in special programming where we would illuminate both, you know, the things that appeal and talk about the downside and talk about those who feel they still must sign up for economic reasons. What could they do to, shall we say, not do the wrong thing all the time? And if there's more time later, I'd like to take it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. Appreciate it. Anybody else from the community that would like to step forward? We have time for you. Anybody else?
Hello?
Labu, you have you got the floor. Go ahead, sir.
The other day, and I just came back from the station, so y'all might have discussed this. The other day at the finance committee meeting, we had a bomb again. And I don't know if, Mike said something to, you know, it was discussed, but you know, just at the end, thank goodness, as we were signing off, we got some, somebody came in with some very unsettling, pictures and stuff like that, man. So that's something that's happened twice. You know, with the finance, I don't know if it's the board's been lucky not to be bothered with that, but at meetings, but it's happened twice at the finance committee meeting. So I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, no, thank you. It's unsettling to say the least.
Wow.
Anybody else? Anybody else want another bite at the apple? We can.
Yeah, I'd like another bite.
Oh yeah, go ahead. Yep.
Okay. Well, just in terms of, in terms of this demonization of of Russia and Putin, Russia is not a communist country the way, or it hasn't, you know, it's retracted some of its socialist programs. However, it still has much more to offer the population than most of the capitalist countries. And it's actually far more democratic if you look at the recent election results. I mean, Putin is actually, he's getting a majority, but, you know, there's a pretty healthy dissent. And the whole reason behind demonizing him at the turn of the century, when the Soviet Union dropped communism and became a capitalist country, and the whole economy there was taken over by five millionaires. And Putin did not endear himself to people by taking back a lot of the power from those billionaires. A lot of the people that he's been accused, or at least some of the people that have been made out to be democratic heroes that he's assassinated, they were actually very far-right nationalists. They were aligned, it's a loose alliance, not even so loose, it's aligned with the people who are backing Trump and a lot of the neo-Nazi parties throughout Europe, and including Zelensky, who is, you know, part of this whole neo-Nazi, you know, get back to, you know, get rid of the immigrants and blah, 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 very strongly capitalist, anti-socialist forces. They, in, I think it was 2012, they killed, I think it was like about 20,000 ethnic Russians that lived in the debated areas of Donbass, which were, Russia was accused of invading. And if you know anything about Eastern European history, these borderlines are very, very amorphous. And so sometimes when there'd be a regime change, you know, the ethnicities within would stay the same. So a lot of the idea that they're invading is, you know, it's been protective. They need a buffer zone given the history of Europe and the U.S. going in against Russia ever since the Napoleonic Wars. And even top U.S. some of these whistleblowers like Scott Ritter and some others who are high in the CIA and high in the military, they'll even say that Putin, the Russians have been very clear about what their lines are, and that given the aggression from NATO and the other forces, that they're justified in drawing these lines. They'll also point out that they have been very careful not to kill more civilians than they need to. They just want to secure Russia and have a buffer zone. It would mean taking over some of the Ukrainian territory. But given the whole history of British and U.S. particularly in and U.S. imperialism in those areas, they have every reason to be on their guard. And it doesn't behoove us in the U.S. and the station's mission to, you know, promote peace and social justice to align ourselves with the forces that are trying to justify constantly justify aggressions against these areas. Now, I'm aware that Amy Goodman's program is extremely popular. She does a lot of good stuff, and you don't want to take it off the air. This is, you know, this is not a party, but I think we need to beef up the programs. There are some that will take their distance from her, but we need to beef up those who will give much more of a comprehensive anti-imperialist line, because I mean, the information is just not getting out there the way it should that would counter this kind of demonization. I live in subsidized senior housing. I meet families of the people with me who are almost 99% African-American, and they are really buying into the patriotism against the, you know, horrible Russians, and they're really buying into it, and we're not reaching them. And it's not our task alone at the station, obviously, but we could be doing more. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Anybody else for community comment at this time? Dennis, is this Jermaine?
It's Sabu's point, but I'll wait until the community time is up.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? Who do we have? Okay. Oh, really quickly, Ellen, member Curtis is here. So you want to check him off, please?
Yeah, I got him. I saw him come in.
Okay, thank you. All right. You want to go ahead and mute, Jeanette? You're not talking? You don't have the floor? All right. Got about 2 minutes. If anybody else wants another bite, if not, then I will we'll close out community comment and go ahead and move forward. I have a couple of folks on the stack that will take their comments here shortly. If we're good. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, IGM Williams. Thank you so much. IGM is leaving now. So, let's go ahead and wrap this up with a, we'll hear from Member Williams and Member Pinchback in that order, and then we'll move to our, program committee reporting, followed by relocation, and then our unfinished business. Member Williams, you have the floor.
Yeah, this is for Sabu. I'm wondering if, how would it work if board members, registered for the 5K as no-shows, would you still get the donations you need that way? I know that I had done that, already before the sponsorship page was set up, and I just tried the sponsorship page again, during community comment, and it's still crashing. So, in the meantime, I was wondering if that would work if people just went ahead and, registered for the event, even if they were planning not to come.
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
That would do it, you know, okay. Go on to that.
Another option for board members if the page doesn't come back up in the next day.
Okay.
Appreciate Go ahead and register.
All right. So what that means then, folks, for all of our board members, at the WPFWFM.org website, you can go there, right in the middle of the page should still be there. You can click on that image. It'll take you right to the registration page as, Member Williams is discussing. And, it's acceptable. Even if you're not going to show up, it asks you for some registration information. If you're comfortable with that. And then, you'll be able to contribute going through that way. The other portal, which is not working, did not require a registration for the event, which, just allow for financial contributions, not attendance. So, and thank you, Member McLean. Looks like she put, the link in the chat if you need it. Member Pinchback, go ahead.
Okay. This is for, Hakeem and, any of the other committee members that are working on the 5K run. I would like the day before the event to do any final promotions that you guys might want to do. Just get in touch with me and email me or call, and we'll make arrangements to make that happen. And that's for this Friday during community watching comment. Okay.
So you're asking them to call in and have that discussion around the 5K between 11 and 12 on Friday?
Yes. Between 11:30.
Okay, I'll pass that on.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah. Make sure to contact me. Okay.
I'm also taking bets for the game tomorrow, Ron. Call me.
Oh, that's why I forgot about you, man.
I know you
forgot about you. Being based up.
All right.
Give me some of that money.
Let's go ahead and move forward. We have program committee reports. I know our chair is not present, but Vice Chair Hirsch, did you have anything you wanted to do to report on as far as program committee?
Sure. Real quick, we discussed the new bylaws, and we expressed concerns about maintaining the independence and the specific character of WPFW under the new bylaws. And we also discussed the terminology that the PMB wanted to stress educational programming. And I made the point that I find all of our programming educational, whether it's music or public affairs, because we've got so many experts on our air. And we had a really good discussion with program director. She was very forthcoming answering questions. She's given us a very comprehensive report. Our interim general manager gave us some more information about that. And it was a really quick meeting, and I think we got a lot done. And I'm here to answer any questions anybody has. But, you know, I think we covered pretty much everything.
Sounds great. Thank you, Member Hirsch. Any questions for you've heard the program committee report. Any questions for the committee? Member Byfield, you have the floor.
You're muted, Michael.
Member Byfield, you have the floor. Yeah, you're muted. Going once. Going twice.
Hello?
There you go. Go ahead, sir. You have the floor.
Was there any discussion about the preemption on Friday and then on Labor Day Monday, I think it was the commemoration of the Hurricane Katrina, Louisiana, which was a full day's program that preempted quite a few programs and covered the entire day, when Amy Goodman's program, which is an hour, spent an hour and covered a wider cross-section of what took place. And I know they're professional journalists, so maybe they can give us a better flavor for that. But then we had an Labor Day, which was a full day, of programming. So you have more program that was preempted. And this is a common thing that happens, and I've spoken about it before, because some of the preemptions, I think, are misplaced and take up too much time and what that says to me as a listener, I don't know about other listeners, is that some programs are not really that important. If, you know, every month you can preempt the program just like that with very little notification.
I could answer that. We didn't really specifically discuss those days, but we have discussed the practice of preemption and what goes into that. And I think that that's that's under review. That's an ongoing conversation, and your points are very well taken. And I think what we need to do is come to a consensus as a community, on under what circumstances preemptions should take place. And your points are very well taken.
Thank you. Member Williams.
Yeah, Mike, I was just wondering, since you all discussed some implications of the new bylaws, did you get into the notion that there is actually no structure that really calls for or allows for a programming committee of the LSB in the new bylaws? So that is not something that we would be doing going forward.
Yeah, that did
come up. Yeah,
that did come up, and that comes under the umbrella of the concerns that the committee expressed, that, you know, we do have a lot of anxiety about what the new bylaws are going to mean moving forward. And, you know, I share concerns that I've heard people discussing, that we just don't know what we're getting into. And I noticed that member Vanessa is asking a question, what programs are being preempted every month? I don't think that there are programs that are being preempted every month. I think maybe what member Michael was talking about is that every month there seems to be some kind of preemption. But again, this is something that, you know, even under the past bylaws, the program committee does not have jurisdiction to do programming. That's really what the program manager is hired to do. And she's been very cooperative with us in terms of reporting what she's doing and why, and giving us an opportunity to give her feedback. So I hope that clears up those questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. Member Leon.
Mike, is anyone on the programming raising the issue or raising the question of listener response and listener feedback measurements?
Go ahead. I thought you were done.
To determine feedback, to determine whether these preemptions are boosting listenership, or giving a station a boost in any kind of way, as well as just the regular programming.
Yeah. Before you answer that, Member Hirsch, just so we try and, you know, make this as efficient as possible, technically, you should have your questions, you know, directed to the chair, and then I'll filter it down back to the member that needs to answer. So just kind of keep that crosstalk to a minimum, and then we can, you know, move forward from there. So chair, from you to the chair to the member. So go ahead, Member Hirsch. What's your response to whether there are any metrics to determine if preemptions are enhancing listenership over and up and above the regular programming?
Yes, we have that discussed, preemptions and metrics from preemptions specifically. We have discussed metrics in general. And my understanding is that WPFW no longer subscribes to the services that will give us that data. And it does make sense to have, information gathering and find out listener responses to that. And then there's the CAB report that would be useful as far as that's concerned. But Tony, your points are very well taken. And that's something that, you know, provided that the program committee continues to exist, which we hope it will, that's something that we could be a resource for management, especially our program manager, in terms of helping to gather information and collate information and pass that along to her. Because, yeah, information is power, and we do want to know listener responses to different policies that we have.
A quick response, right, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, go ahead. What do you have?
it doesn't appear that the programming committee will exist as it is now, but that doesn't mean that the delegates that continue to be on the LSB can't follow up on that issue. So it shouldn't be dropped. Thank you.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, real
Member
quick.
Dixon Briggs.
Yeah, I agree with what Tony's saying.
Okay, fine. Sounds good. Member Dixon Briggs, you have the floor.
Sorry, 2 points. One, in terms of the last statement that was made about under the new bylaws or the whatever's in place now, there's no, won't be a programming committee. So in the absence of a committee, it seems inconceivable that there will be any structure through which, LSB delegates or the community could offer any kind of input or follow-up. What, through community comment? I don't see that as possible. There's no committee. The committee is the structure through which work and input is offered. And without that, there's nothing except the PNB telling us what to do and what not to do. In terms of preemptions, I'm on the programming committee. And when I hear someone say that certain programs are being preempted every month, that's not well taken to me. And when I hear Mike very gently and kindly saying, well, what he really meant was preemptions are occurring every month, I don't know that to be true either. So I don't know what the data shows. What I'm hearing is anecdotal, sort of samples of one from one person. So I don't agree with that because there's no data. Whatever I say, I try to have the data to support it. I'm not aware of any data to support either of the statements about preemptions.
All right. Very well. Thank you. Member Byfield, I heard for you on this. I think so. So let me go to Member Goodwin.
I wanted to, if someone else didn't say anything, I don't want to take their spot, but I do want to respond.
No, I'll give you, we have time. I just want to, Member Goodwin, I haven't heard from her yet, so I'm going to give her the floor here, and then we'll move to Member Pinchback on this, and I'll come back to you. So go ahead, Member Goodwin.
Okay, thank you very much. So what I want to respond to is this notion that there are shows that are preempted every month. I can only speak personally to public affairs programming. I am the news director. And every single week, we send out a newsletter about what you may have missed. And I know every week if anything has been preempted. And to tell you the truth, it's not that often, but there is absolutely no public affairs show that is preempted every month. That is just not true.
All right. Thank you for that. Member Pinchback?
Yeah, I also want to point out this. You know, we just completed a very successful drive. If preemptions were a problem, our listeners, you know, would let us know. I'm willing to bet you that there have not been a bevy of complaints about preemptions, you know, from our listeners. They support that because it's our way of addressing community needs. Sometimes we had to preempt the program to address community needs. And you know, nobody's beefing about that. No, yeah, I don't hear any complaints, you know, from listeners about, well, you have too many preemptions. You know, anybody say that about players' tribe, but preemptions? No, I don't.
All right,
we're getting that kind of retort, you know, from our listeners regarding preemptions. And once again, that's just our way of achieving, of staying on mission, you know? So that's what I want to say about that, to anyone who has a problem with preemptions.
Thank you. Member Byfield, you want to respond?
Yes. You know, for since I joined the board for the second time, I've maintained that we don't have a functioning programming committee, and the meeting that Chairperson Hirsch just held was the first one that was held with the program director, which is the quarterback of the programming committee, in maybe 4 or 5 years. Now, truth be told, the last general manager was very absent. So more or less the program director did what he or she wanted to do. And my contention was, as a board or as a radio station or even as a community, that to have one individual make the decision for an entire community was not democratic and not responsible. And there were several instances which we brought to bear where the programming director went to Morocco on a trip and really didn't even understand the politics of the Moroccan government in its relationship to the Zionist
Hold on.
Genocidal people. And even tried to snowball us. I don't want to go there, but I do want to say, and when the programming director was here and we spoke about an incident where Sly Stone was given, preemption on a Friday, and 3 or 4 other DJs had done it the week before, and it was just overkill, and we didn't think that Sly was a Stevie Wonder that required an entire day of programming. And she admitted that, you know what, you're correct. I was operating the board, and I accept that. However, what I'm saying is that it goes back to one issue. Please. We need a programming committee. And maybe we don't have one anymore because of the new bylaws. And maybe, hey, if the people that are okay with having no voice in programming, then I get, why do we have a cab? I think that's a part of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting constitution for radio stations.
Thank you for your comment. Member Leon, please. Two minutes, everybody. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just to follow up on what Member Byfield just said regarding the programming committee. Even though, and also Vanessa, following up on Vanessa's comment, we still can be involved in programming as delegates by communicating with the community. The community, we should still be reaching out some kind of way to the community to get their suggestions, their feedback, on current programming and possible, future programs. So just because the programming, has been taken away from the committee's been taken away doesn't mean that the public cannot be involved in programming. And like Michael said, one person left to make the decision, one or two people left to make the decision for programming is dangerous, in my opinion. It's dangerous. And it should not just be left to those, two people. Maybe in a private corporation, a corporate owned radio station, but not in a quote unquote public radio station.
30 seconds.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Leon. Member Hirsch, go ahead. The other floor. 2 minutes.
Thank you. I didn't mean to say that the program committee would, you know, cease to exist entirely. I'm sure that there are workarounds that we can come up with. And I just wanted to say that in my experience, our program manager has been extremely hardworking, very vigilant, reaching out to cooperate with us. We had a few meetings where she appeared, but for technical difficulties, either we weren't able to have the meeting or she couldn't stay because the meeting got started too late. But she's been available and she's explained her decision making. And it's very clear that she has sought input and her decision making rationale makes a lot of sense to me. She's walked us through it. She's taken questions. So I do think that whatever has happened before I became involved in the OSB, we've kind of turned a new leaf and we've been much more cooperative. And, I do think that, you know, input is extremely important, especially for a community radio station like this. And I think that we can always do better, but I do think that we should honor that we're all trying our best and we are improving on that in that regard. And, I look forward to more cooperation as we move forward.
Thank you. I'm going to. One moment, Member Dixon Briggs. I have not, and Member Goodwin. I haven't heard from Member Tingling Clemens to the floor. You have the floor, Member Tingling Clemens. 2 minutes. Michelle, you have the floor. Oh, you don't want it now. Going once, going twice. All right, Member Goodwin, go ahead.
There it is. Okay.
Michelle, you ready?
Yeah, okay, actually, I just have a question, and maybe it's just because people keep alluding to them, but we are going to have a discussion on the bylaws, right?
That is. Yeah, we have that coming up shortly. Yep.
Okay.
We'll discuss the powers that the LSB has. I think some of this might get cleared up a little bit when we go through the material.
All right. Good.
But it's a good discussion to have. I think it's important that folks kind of, get their understanding of things out as kind of ideally they see it. And then, of course, buttress that up against how exactly it's going to be allowed to happen, quote unquote, allowed to happen under the bylaws. And I think to Member Leon's point, I think you have to be creative in what we do going forward. We can't just kind of lay down and accept things as, they've been dished out. Member Goodwin and then Member Dixon Briggs.
Thanks again. And, I just want to quickly say, I can't not say, we have a program director that is incredibly talented. I've been in this business many decades. She is very good at what she does and she is so deeply committed to social justice. And that's what you hear on our air, and it works. We're one of the best functioning stations in the community in the Pacifica network, and I just need to say it.
Thank you. Member Dixon Briggs, and then we'll wrap on this. We're actually at time, so I'll give you 1 minute.
Okay, so I thank Mike and Susan for setting the record straight. In terms of one, Mike, Katia is the program director's participation, with the programming committee meetings. In my words, what was said about the program director previously by Member Byfield was blatantly untrue. So I appreciate Mike setting the record straight. Susan, thank you for your perspective working so closely with the program director. The second point has to do with this allegation, again, that the program director is making executive decisions. Said it at the last meeting, ask her what her process is. I asked. She answered. Unsubstantiated allegations keep being made. The same person, Member Byfield, who keeps making that allegation, said at the last meeting that you were going to ask. But instead of asking, you just repeat the same untrue allegation. ask her what her process is. There is a process. It does not involve just her. So if you don't have the facts, then don't make the statement. It's really irresponsible and really quite irritating.
All right. We're going to table this for now. We're at time, actually. Sorry, we're not going to table it. We're at time. Relocation Committee. Chairman Williams, did you want to address the board tonight, please? Dennis, are you here? Did Dennis drop?
He's here. He's just on mute.
He's here. Oh, yeah. Member Williams, relocation. Going once, going twice. All right. You all have his written report, I assume. I'll go ahead and read it really quickly. The relocation committee met on Zoom on September 2nd. 8 of 10 members attended, along with honorary member Craig Williams. By consensus, the committee agreed that purchasing a property does not seem feasible at this moment, if only because the station's current financial situation. However, the committee also committed to prepare a report that includes recommendations and guidelines for purchasing a permanent property, which will be presented to the LSB for consideration and approval. The full committee will meet again on October 1st. So, if you all have questions, just go ahead and email the secretary, or you can email Member Williams directly about the report, but you should have it in writing. And while I'm sure he's busy doing something, we'll kind of move forward here in our agenda. All right.
Mr. Chairman, I see.
What do you got, sir? Go ahead. Sorry about that.
You read it. If there are any questions, I can answer any questions, if we've got some time, but that's basically it. The bottom line is that there was, at the beginning of the year, there was a lot of enthusiasm with the move to the new studio about the ability to start, saving significant amounts of money for relocation, and that was before we confronted the realities of past due bills and central services payments and monster rats. We haven't been able to save as much so far as we would like to. Life intervenes. We just looked at a budget that plans for a surplus for next year, but we would probably need at least twice as much as that amount in a separate relocation account to seriously consider a purchase. We're slowing our roll a little bit, but we still want to. We're still dedicated to that goal, and we're going to try and put some steps in place to make it easy to get there. One of which is to sort of figure out exactly where do we need to get to and what steps do we need to take to get there. So we're going to try and get some of that work done over the next couple of months.
Excellent. Any, Member Byfield, quickly, we have 4 minutes on this.
I want to apologize to some of the board members that may think I have a lot of questions, but it is, please view it as passion and love for the station.
No need to apologize, sir. You're good.
What I do want to ask, Chairperson Williams, on a relocation committee. When we first, embarked on relocation from, it was K Street. We were just coming out of the pandemic, and that created a different environment in terms of real estate. And I think right now we're encountering a very similar dynamic that might be more drastic in terms of what is happening globally and domestically. Do you guys have any ideas as to how we're going to approach real estate and relocation, or is it just maybe a wait and see approach?
We're going to put a plan together.
Okay. And is the community or even the wider membership invited to participate in that or to have input?
Not in putting the plan together, but what we're going to do as a committee is bring something to the LSB for discussion and vote. There'll be community comment there. Part of what we're bringing is the intelligence that we got from, we did do a membership survey as part of our process. So we're including what we got from that. And then, as the station moves forward to contemplate relocation, the station can take whatever steps are appropriate to allow for public input on that process.
We have some new members. What if they want to join that committee? I think we have two new members that we're probably going to have next month.
So real quick, you're correct. The meetings are open. Joining a committee simply just means to attend the meeting. Anyone and everyone has input there. The problem that we ran into, I think you all know about 2 years ago, was that the national board implemented a particular composition for that committee, very specific. It actually relates to the prior bylaw. So I'm not sure, because this whole thing is kind of upside down now. So we'll see how even a relocation committee may not exist into the future. So we got all these things, I think, are had to be kind of, worked out. And I think let us get to our presentation tonight. We'll try and talk about it a little bit. And I think we might have some more clarity and then some more questions for those who have implemented these bylaws as they, create a little bit of chaos here down at the lower level of things. All right. So I appreciate your question, Member Byfield. Anything else? We're going to flip to unfinished business. And then we'll grab new business. All right, unfinished business. I'm going to share my screen. I think you all should have received a packet from me after 1 o'clock, somewhere around maybe 2 o'clock this afternoon, and it would have had a excerpt from the bylaws. It's going to be a cut out from the current bylaws as they exist right now. And it's really just a cutout of the powers and the composition. Let me share my screen. Yeah, here we go.
Chairman.
Of the new board. Yes, who's that?
This is Brana, Avery Brown. So when are we going to get to the new listener nomination piece? I thought that was
9:25.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep. 9:25. Time certain is 9:25. All right. One of the things that I hope everyone can see this. One of the things, again, this, I'm learning as I go through this as well. So do not accept me as the authority on any of this. But what I've tried to do is highlight for you all some of the things as they are. I feel like may be important. Again, you all do your due diligence as you read through it. I'm going to skip down actually in reverse. This article comes as Article 4 in the bylaws, so it's in order. But I'm going to skip down to Article 7, which is also in here. Powers and duties. I think this is what's come up tonight as a concern for a lot of folk are the powers and duties now under this 2025 version of the bylaws. Make this a little bigger. All right. So what you have here under Section 3 is the specific powers and duties, similar to a section, if you remember, in the other, the previous bylaws had a section called specific powers and duties. And you will see under A, right, to work with station management. We all have heard that all the time, to work with station management to ensure that station programming, right, fulfills the purpose of the foundation and is responsive to the diverse needs of the listeners and communities served by the station. So the way I read that is, yeah, we may not have a program committee, but the entire LSB as it's recomposed is going to be primary in addressing this issue. All right. So it's no longer going to be the way the board operates currently. We have a large board and we kind of break ourselves down into various committees. What this is saying, and again, this can be discussed and, you know, feedback is always necessary, but the way I'm reading it is everybody on this new 13-member LSB will be involved in each of these specific powers and duties. There's an opportunity, if you read further into this, that 13-member board can break down its membership into specific committees to do certain things, but the specific power and duty of the entire board is to work with management on programming. B, to assist in station fundraising activities, including off-air membership recruitment. So this goes back to Member Hirsch and what he was saying in regards to that membership cost. If it's prohibitive, maybe we have a harder time as we go out off-air and recruit. We don't want to make that prohibitive in terms of people's access to membership. C, to actively reach out to underrepresented communities to help the station serve a diversity of all races, creeds, colors, nations, classes, genders, sexual orientations, ages, so on and so forth. So community outreach is there, right? So some of the elements of what we do now are already in the specific powers and duties. B, to perform community needs assessments, and E, to assist with publicity efforts for the station. Back to Member Leon's point about, hey, I don't want to do a whole bunch of, gifting of membership unless we're actively recruiting. And so this is where the publicity efforts come into play in terms of getting folks in. I'll pause right there. Is there any questions? And I have to stop sharing because I can't see anybody if I'm sharing. So I'll stop right there for now. But I wanted to kind of show that. Is there any discussion of questions I can take back, and let's begin to build a cache of questions as we await the arrival of the PNB chair and her full explanation about what it is that these bylaws are saying and their interpretation of them. All right. So I see Member Avery Brown, you have the floor.
I do. So Chairman, who are these 13 members? The new LSB is going to be comprised of who? Who's going to get kicked off? Who's going to be kept on? Are they going to be voted on? How does that look?
Yep. All right. Glad you asked. I will share it again. Let's share the screen again.
Oh, I'm sorry if I missed
it. All right.
Mm-hmm. I said, I'm sorry if I missed that? It.
No. I didn't mention it. You're fine.
Oh, okay.
No, you're absolutely fine. All right, so the board is going to be comprised of, where is it? Yeah, nope. Sorry. Eligibility, where's the composition? Yep, all right. This is the highlight here. Each LSB shall consist of 5 LSB officers. You'll have a chair, vice chair, secretary. You have a community outreach coordinator and a membership/fundraising coordinator. All right, that's your top 5. Those are all listener sponsor members. The 5 cannot be staff. All right, that's what these bylaws say. Each LSB will have the officers, of which there are 5 100% listener sponsor members. The board will now have 2 staff representatives, as defined down here And then those seven people will then select or elect six other LSB members. Okay? That's your 13. Five okay. listeners who are the officers, two staff, and then six other.
So the staff, are they paid staff or are they programmers? Who are the staff representatives?
Eligibility for staff rep. Any staff member in good standing? Now, I don't think I have the definition of a staff member here on this, in this article. It's in the other one we talked about last month. But there's actually two types of staff. There's paid and unpaid. So I think they're treated the same, but they do designate them differently in this equation. But that's a good question. I'll have to go back and do some more research or bring that back to those who wrote these bylaws. But I do not know the definition of the staff member.
Mm-hmm. And how are these people selected?
How are the staff members selected for
the whole 13 participation? The LSB, the whole 13 team, the entire LSB, there's going to be 13 people. How are they selected?
Okay. Yeah. So any listener sponsor member in good standing, so, you know, back to the $25 and or your hours of service, you then have to obtain, if you're a listener sponsor member, 15 listener sponsor member signatures. Each of those 15 must also be in good standing and affiliated with the radio station, WPSW. Okay. And then, of course, you can't be, you can't be running for public office and things like that. There's some other language in there. But to be eligible, this is kind of the baseline. All right. 15 signatures.
Go to sign
and
up.
Then you have to, what's that? Mm.
So you have to get 15 people to sign on and say, yes, you should be a listener representative.
Yes.
Okay. Do these LSB members have a vote in anything in terms of locally and nationally?
So that methodology has been totally eliminated. What used to happen was a traditional bottom-up approach. You would build your local board, your local, what they actually had a term delegates. Y'all remember that? I tend to still use that from time to time. You had your local delegates. Once we established the delegates here locally, we then chose from that, those 24, four, three listener, one staff, to then represent the board as directors, to be represented on the board, the PNB as directors. That no longer happens. There's now simply a local election for this LSB, which is 13, and then a separate election for the PNB. There is no kind of, I can be at the LSB and then also participate at the PNB. You got to choose one or the other.
Hmm.
There's different qualifications running for the PNB, which is the fiduciary now, so remember that, then running for your LSB. I'm not going into that because really I'm just dealing with us here locally first as an LSB and what our powers and things are going forward. But that's essentially the change. You do not get that traditional bottom up that we had. You now have two separate tracks. You have an LSB track with these specific powers and duties I just went over. And then you have a national or PNB track that has its own powers and duties and qualifications as well.
And how many people go to the national? And then I'll yield. I'll shut up.
I haven't gone into that. I'm sorry. I don't, I really just stayed locally with the, I stayed with the LSV, so I don't know offhand. I'm sorry about that.
It's about 15. It's smaller than the current 22.
There you go. Remember Williams had it, about 15.
That's from all five stations? 15
from everybody, all? Yep.
No. It's from, you can be a listener member affiliated with a particular station. So yes, I mean, you're not going to get that everyone comes from a certain lot of stations. You know what I mean? You can actually have, it's a traditional election for a position. It's almost like a electing, somebody locally for your, Congress or something. This is going to be campaigning and nationally. Yes.
The PNP will be more like a statewide election as opposed to the local elections. All the positions are at large. Although the elected Correct. Positions are, as a national pool.
You understand the difference there?
It will not necessarily be equal representation from each of the five stations.
Correct.
So I'm just a little confused as to whether or not that 15 dealing with the national board is going to have representatives from each of the five Pacifica stations, or does WPL?
It depends.
I'm not sure if it's each. It certainly isn't necessarily even representation. As it is now, it's equally proportion representation. That will not be the case.
Let's do this so we don't, misinformation. I have not reviewed that piece. Again, I said I was only working with local station board. I got some other hands, but we can go back and entertain the national. We're doing this in steps now. So I'll have another batch of review done, and we'll do that presentation as well. National board, but right now we're kind of dealing locally. And I wanted to make sure everybody understood because at 24, it's going to we're going to be losing some membership locally, especially staff. But I see Tingling Clemens, Leon, and Dixon Briggs in that order. Thank you, Verna.
Yeah, thanks, Verna. Okay, I'm not sure I agree with your interpretation, Kamau. When I read it, what it says to me is that the only members that the local station members can vote for are those five officers. Then those officers and the two staff representatives, they get to choose, select or elect, however you want to call it. But those seven people get to choose the other six members. So essentially what you set it up for is one election of five people for different offices. And I don't even know if there's like a limit to, I don't even know what the standards are for that. And then they get to perpetuate the board by selecting the six people that they and the two staff representatives think should represent the station. But I'm not sure how much that means because it doesn't appear that the local station board has the authority to do anything. We aren't supposed to keep track of our budget. We definitely don't have any responsibility for managing it or supporting it. Our only responsibility seems to be to support the Pacifica Foundation by setting up fundraising mechanisms for them. Because it's definitely, I don't see where it has anything to do with, it definitely doesn't have to do with being a Democratic station anymore. So I think that we all can just dispense with that. And if we decide to stick around with this, because I'm not sure how comfortable I am trying to convince people to raise funds and support a station where they have no say-so. They just call it public. But they get no say so. I mean, we live in the District of Columbia. I mean, we should be tired of being screwed over right now, paying taxes for a government that we have no say in. They can come in and take us over as an example. So, I mean, I just think this is a serious issue here. And if this if this lawsuit, if this effort that we have to try to overturn that decision in the courts doesn't get turned around, I think that, you know, we all can make our own decisions, but it seems to me that we can just basically kiss PFW goodbye unless we are, and then we can set a go outside and find our own mechanism for identifying a public station if that's what we want to continue doing. But it's not going to be
an issue. Done that already.
Thank you. Thank you. Everybody, let's be courteous now. Okay, Michelle. Appreciate that. We almost at time certain. So let me get a couple more in here. Member Leon, and then Member Dixon. Oh, go ahead, Tony. You got it.
Okay, Mr. Chair, and correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. The way I read it essentially is that this new bylaws just streams down the process for decision making by only allowing delegates to be on these committees. So right now, before the new bylaws, any member could be on any committee along with the delegates. So non-delegates and delegates could be on the committees that existed. And now picture that minus non-delegates. And that'll be who's sitting at the table.
Actually, no. There is room, and I'll try and ferret that out, but there actually is room when there's discussions only on the breakout, though, when there's a carve out at the LSB for, let's say, some certain activity. It doesn't have to be programming or it doesn't have to be outreach, but let's say LSB wants to do something specific. You take at least minimum two of the members of the LSB can form that, and they can bring in the listener member and staff members really into that particular discussion. So it's not that outside or non, for lack of a better term, delegates are prevented from participating. It just has to be, you know, kind of a specific duty or purpose for which they come in. But again, all the activity is going to be, you know, kind of in that 13. You're right about that, that the, you know, the heavy lifting is going to be done by the 13. But that's a little nuance in there that's kind of buried in there that, you know, that's why it's a lot of reading. It's like, you know, almost 60 pages of stuff, man. But so I'm just trying to peel off things at a time, go through what I, you know, pulled out, and you can see kind of some of the nuances there. Really quickly, because I have to get our member, he's been waiting a long time, our candidate here. Go ahead, Dixon Briggs, and then we can finish up.
Sure. So just to really reinforce what some other people have already said, it is in fact self-perpetuating. That's clear. The absence of programmers being able to serve on the LSB is extremely concerning because they're the ones who have the greatest amount of knowledge about the station, about radio, about how it works. I've been around a while, and most of the information I have learned over the years has come from the programmers that I know. I was kind of a blank slate, you know, but I learned over the years. But so they have a bunch of ignorant people who ignorant of how radio works or PFW works or Pacifica works, who they can tell what to do because they won't know any better. The national track for PNB elections is extraordinarily concerning because the greatest number of members are in California. So I think Ambrose very capably made this point at the last meeting that we PFW, maybe BAI, those signal areas where there are far fewer members are not going to have anywhere near equal or the same opportunity. We will be so outnumbered and outvoted because it's a national 30, vote. 30 seconds. It's an at-large vote. So yeah, it's a streamed down process. It's streamed down to nothing. It's a, you know, just a travesty of justice, but it is what it is. So I pray for the appeal.
Thank you. All right. So you all, we were tasked last month with obtaining, nominations for the, empty LSB, listener member, spot. And as it turns out, we put a PSA out. We ran the PSA, Secretary Carter. We have only, as she and I have only received one application for that, and that is Dr. Jawara Hunter. He's here this evening. And Dr. Hunter, if you could take a moment, I'll give you 3 minutes to go ahead and address the LSB as to why you're interested in being a part of the board, and some about your background as well. So are you still here, Dr. Hunter?
Yes, yeah, still here. How y'all doing?
All right. Please go ahead. The floor is yours.
So been a member for a long time, and I sent a bio, and I've sent also my reasons for wanting to be involved. Basically, I see the station as being a very important part of my background. For the last, 1977, what's that, 48 years? And I think it's an important part of, you know, my family's life, many of my friends' life. And I see the environment that we're in, and I believe wholeheartedly that, you know, we have to be able to size up what the risks are coming at us, do our best to address those risks strategically, and fight back. What else can we say? My concern, of course, is that with the showing that Pacifica in California is doing, they showed the same disdain for us when we were on Champlain Street, and they were many times trying to, you know, do things in a way that made us feel less than, and those of us in our community know what I mean by that. Being asked to be a part of this, I felt a responsibility because, as I had written in my reasons, I was very close to Ambrose, Dory Ladner, Gaston Neal, and Hodari Ali and Askia. So it's almost like a calling based on having been nurtured and befriended by some great people. And I just feel that, and also Lauren Kress. And I feel that they would want me to be a part of the struggle. And I'd like to throw my bald head in the hat, into the ring. And I hope that sums it up. Any questions, I'd be glad to take them.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Really appreciate it. Dr. Hunter's taking the time here and has expressed his interest. We do not have another candidate, but I will take a stack if you'd like to ask him some questions at this time with regards to either what you read in his bio and his reason for applying and or what you heard this evening. So I have Member Byfield and Member Avery Brown in that order. Please direct your questions to the chair, and then I'll make sure that we get an answer. Go ahead, Member Byfield.
I'm going to ask this last question I asked the last person. Are you a Washington football fan or not?
what do you say there, Dr. Hunter?
I would say I think they're a good team. I tend to be one of these people who don't really choose a team until the Super Bowl because I want to be on the winning side.
All right. Okay. That's good. Member Avery Brown, do you have a question for Dr. Hunter this evening?
I don't have a question so much as a comment. I mean, because I've watched Dr. Hunter for over a decade, I think, be an upright, progressive, a loyal and generous supporter of WPFW. He's quick to respond whenever we call upon him. He's reasoned and intelligent. Yeah, I can just go on and on about his integrity. His previous service on the LSB. And his letter is just very eloquent, and I hope everyone has a chance to read that. It, you know, talks about how WPFW is sort of the soundtrack of his life, starting at his years at Howard University's campus. And, you know, all the way through to the fact that he thinks this is a calling, and this is precisely the type of person that we need on this board. And I'm so glad I had the forethought to invite him to join again. He served once before. He's ready to serve again, and we need him on the board. That's pretty much all I want to say.
Okay. Thank you so much. Member Tingling Clements, you have something you want to ask?
Yes, I just want to say I think Dr. Jawari knows what high esteem I hold him in. My nickname for him is Good Brother. Full disclosure, I actually worked for him one time. But I want to say that the first local station board meeting that I went to, when he was on the local station board, I thought, oh my God, I can't believe anybody in their right mind would want to serve on this board. So being that I seem to have lost my mind and run for it, I wanted to ask you, you know, are you still in good mind, Dr. Hunter?
In my right mind, as they say in the church, right? I believe I am. And, I'm around good people.
I want to thank you for considering it.
Well, thank you so much for thinking about me.
Remember Pinchback, and then we'll try and move forward with a decision here. Remember Pinchback, you have a question?
Yeah, Mr. Jawari, are you of your right mind? We've been through some wars.
Yes, we have.
And so I'm glad to see that you're considering this move, because you'll bring a wealth of information and talent and hope and presence. So thank you for finding us worthy. Okay. And look forward to having you on board. Thank you.
Yeah, we all go way back.
Yes, we are. Time for another bus ride from New York.
That's right. Another ride with Ambrose up to New York to fight a good fight.
Are there any other, Secretary Carter, do you have any other nominees?
No, I haven't had any others.
All right. Is there a motion to accept the nomination of Dr. Jawari Hunter for the listener member?
So moved.
I'm sorry, listener member. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded.
Do we need any further discussion? Is there any opposition? All right. Hearing none, we'll accept Dr. Hunter as the newest listener member for the local station board, WPFW, for I guess the next at least 12 months. Somewhere in that neighborhood, about 15 months or so. So hang on. We have a transitional period. So we'll be working through that. Ellen will, we have a bit of a packet for you. Okay. Again, you know, with the new bylaws, we'll have a little bit of a change there. We'll have some new bylaws for you to look at. But opening packet kind of gives you a little bit about Robert's rules, things like that. But it sounds like you've been involved before, so
looking forward to
learning curve is probably not that steep. So appreciate it and welcome. All right.
Thank you all so much.
All righty. Thank you. Okay. What did we miss? We're about to wrap up. We have some action items going forward. I would like everyone, we need to compile.
I have a question.
And be ready for Member Leon. Yes, go ahead. Sorry. Yep.
Real quick, Mr. Chair, when will the conversion take place as far as the the delegate, number of delegates, you know?
Yeah. There's going to be an election. I think, I don't know, you may have heard the IGM say that this coming week, the executive director, the business manager, national business manager, and I believe someone who deals with the elections will be coming in town in order to kind of determine where they are with the actual membership. So they're going to get that straight in preparation for what will be an election in about, I don't know, 10 months from now. So it's during the summer of 2026, but all of the folks will be seated as of January 1, 2027. So this board will be in transition from this time forward until the end of the year 2027.
So we will continue to do our work until then.
We will. We will do it as best as we can. I think we have a solid group. I think, what we've been doing here is beneficial to the station. If we were to ask, I think the general manager, interim general manager, some of the other folks, yeah, we're annoying, get on folks' nerves, but I think that's an important part of the kind of symbiotic relationship that we have. You know, one hand kind of washes the other. So we'll continue to work, Tony.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right. What I want is from each of you, if we could, begin to build up a series of questions. Member Avery Brown was very poignant at putting me on the witness stand this evening, and I think that's what we need to do in terms of understanding the bylaws. So let's begin to send some of the questions. I want Ellen, if you could, as she receives them, to start to put together a list, you know, bylaws, questions, and concerns for the PMB chair. As I said, she's committed to working with her paid staff first, and then working her way down to the local station boards, and I think eventually, I guess, to the larger membership. But we want to be ready and not just kind of caught on our heels. We want to be able to have that discussion, robust discussion, to have the questions available. So let's begin to build that up. Send them to Ellen as you have them. I know for myself, sometimes in the middle of the night, stuff comes to me. Have that pen and paper next to the bed so you can quickly put it down and then, you know, get it over to Ellen as soon as possible, okay? So that's one of the action items we would like to have going forward. Anything else that we need? I know we're waiting on some feedback from our directors as it relates to the Bill of Rights and where we are with that, the formulation of the National Bill of Rights and how our work integrates in with the national board's work. Anything else? Oh, donations for the 5K. Donate, donate, donate. Please go on there now. Whatever you can do, whatever you can consider, please, you know, make that donation. As we say on air, no donation is too big or too small. So let's just make that happen as it is. As Sabu, you know, reminds us that it is our event, the local station board event. It's not something that the station itself is promoting. This is an LSB event, annual, and it's growing. And if we don't support it, how can we expect others to do so? All right, so let's make sure we do that.
Chair, point of order, please.
Yes.
Could someone send, I know it's in the chat, but could somebody send that link to us via email?
Yes, we'll have that out this evening. I'll make sure that gets to everybody. Okay. I sent one that isn't working, but I'll send them both, and you all can choose the one that's working. I'm going to check my email first to see if Otis fixed the other one. I know Dennis said he checked, and I don't think it's working yet. But, yes, you'll have the link. I know Mariah sent that out for us, but we'll have it. And what else? I think that's all our action items are right now. Looking forward to seeing folks on Saturday. All right. Who wants to make the call?
Move to adjourn.
Anybody want to second that?
Second.
All right. Hearing no opposition, we are adjourned. I will see you all back here in 30 days. Enjoy your rest of your week.
Go Green Bay. Go Green Bay, baby.
Oh, man. Here we go.
Call me if you want to.